What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
It's another edition of the Talking Mets podcast here on this Sunday, June the 11th, 2017. Of course, I'm your host, Mike Silva, here. We always appreciate our sponsor here, the guys who support the show, MetsMorizedOnline.com. Send me a tweet at Mike Silva Media, and you can check out the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. I'm pretty much there. I would greatly appreciate it if you can leave me a review at iTunes. It seems to be, as I say, a new thing that helps a little bit in getting the word out about this program. Hope everybody's doing well here on this steamy, hot Sunday. It looks like summer has finally arrived here in New York. I think it was 96 degrees out here on Long Island, and hopefully it was equally as pleasant where you are. For a while there, I felt like we were watching September baseball in May. And the way the Mets were playing, it looked like it was a meaningless game in September. But the weather has heated up. The Mets have heated up in Atlanta. Orlando, geez, I'm thinking about Florida. In Atlanta, and have won the last three, took three out of four in Atlanta, and then split the series in Texas. And a solid road trip for the Mets. And today, as we get into the MLB draft next week and all the chatter that has been going on about Amed Rosario, I thought it was a great opportunity to catch up with Russ Langer, the play-by-play voice of the Las Vegas 51s. If you remember, Russ was on the program last year. We had a chance to catch up with him about some of the prospects at that time. Both, I think both Dominic Smith and Rosario were not on the 51s. This year they are. Those are the two names that we're most interested in. We'll also get into, is there any help for the bullpen? Are there arms for the bullpen that the Mets can take a look at, and eventually they're going to need help, and it may have to come from Las Vegas. They signed Daniel Bard today. I don't know how that's going to work out, but they signed former Red Sox top prospect and had a pretty good season with the Red Sox a while back, Daniel Bard. So, he's in the mix now. We'll ask him about Pedro Lopez, who some feel is a manager in waiting, an organizational guy that's moved through the ranks here in the Mets organization, and who knows what's going to happen with Terry Collins after the year. He doesn't have a contract. Mets seem to prefer organizational type of guys, and Pedro Lopez falls into that. And I'll even ask him about Frank Viola, get an idea of what kind of pitching coach, because he's starting to get noticed, and he interviewed for some big league jobs in the offseason, and I have a feeling Frankie V, if it doesn't happen with the Mets, will eventually get a job in the big league. So I had a chance to catch up with Russ before the 51s took on the Tacoma Rainiers earlier this evening. So you'll hear that. I had a limited time, but it's chock full of some good information. So we'll get to that in just a few minutes. As far as where the Mets are and kind of the state of the union that I do here every week, and I've been spending a good deal of the last two or three podcasts ranting and raving about Terry Collins and Worthen and the leadership and this team, and I don't want to really do that, although there's still some things that happened this week that really bugged me, which I'll at least gloss over a little bit here. Let's just look at where this team is at. And I think Rich Catino on Twitter, our buddy Rich Catino over at 98.7 ESPN, really said it best, that right now you have to look at this as the charge towards the All-Star break, because you have about a month till the All-Star break. And you have approximately, and I checked it out, 26 games until the All-Star break. And if the Mets want to be at or above 500, they have to be at 16-10. That put them a game over. 15-11 would put them slightly under. I think you really have to go, because right now, let's take a look right here. The Mets, after the win today, are 28-33. So if you go 16-10, that puts you a game over. 15-11 puts you a game under. I really think you need to be at or above 500 at the All-Star break, and then you could really be taken seriously. Now, whether or not Arizona pulls away or something happens, who knows? Because right now, there's seven back Arizona in the wild card, and that's all I'm looking at, is that second wild card. Really the second wild card, not even the first wild card, because you have L.A. in that spot, and I don't think L.A. is going to play back to the competition. And Colorado is having a great start, and I don't think they're going to pull back to the competition. So I really think you only have one shot at the playoffs. Old school wild card chase. Second wild card spot, go on the road, trying to win a road playoff game to get into the tournament, the second year row. Not acceptable, not by my definition where this team should be, but it's reality and this is what you have to deal with. Now, can they do it? I really think this charge to the All-Star break, and it starts with the seven-game homestand, is the determining factor. You can't mess around anymore. And I always say, yeah, you can mess around until 80 games in. Look, they're 28-33. That is 60-somewhat games in. You still are over the 100-game mark, so you have plenty of baseball left. But this is really going to make it where either this is going to be a meaningless second half, and God help us, because we'll be talking about the Mets as sellers. There'll be very little juice. There won't even be juice for the Subway Series, which for the first time in August might have a little bit of juice because the Yankees are playing well. You think the Mets would have something to play for. And that hasn't been the case where these teams have been co-joined at really any point. So these next 26 games, and it starts tomorrow with the Cubs coming in. They have Seth Lugo back, and Seth Lugo looked pretty good. You know, it shows you don't have to throw 95 miles an hour. Everybody's worried, oh, he's not throwing as hard as he did. You got to pitch. You got to move the ball around. You got to locate your pitches. You got to change speeds. That's pitching. And I think Steven Matz did a little bit of that as well. Now, the Braves are not a good baseball team, but this is a ballpark that plays very small, especially the right field. It's amazing. The ball flies out of here. So it could have been one of those games. And you saw Seth Lugo made a big pitch in the fifth inning today to get the double play off of Adams. And the Mets won the replay. That was a tough call for the umpire at first. That was it's literally a bang-bang play, and you know that's why you need replay. That's what it's there for. So you really have a situation here where the Mets have kind of moved the narrative away from the negativity, because they were pretty much, if they had a lousy series in Atlanta and God forbid lost three or four or did not win the Zach Wheeler game in Texas, which by the way was Terry Collins, classic Terry Collins buffoonery, leaving Jerry Blevins in against the righty batter. Now, I know he did it today in the eighth inning with Ken, but I wasn't crazy about it, but you did have the lefty after him. So when you're sandwiched, I could understand it, and Ken could only at that point tie the game. When you have a guy that could go and, I mean, and I know that's with Chirinos, what is it, Chirinos, the catcher for Texas, I have to learn how to pronounce his name here. He wound up tying the game. To me, that was with two outs. It was ready made for a righty, whether it be Reed coming in for a longer save, a four out save, or bringing in Sewald or what have you. That's where Terry Collins with bullpen management, to me, just drops the ball. He lacks a feel. In that situation, Blevins, especially because small sample size, Chirinos had like a 900 OPS against right lefties. So, you know, that to me is exactly where he fails. The other thing that really kind of bothered me about Terry this week, and I'm starting to listen to these Wayne Randazzo interviews pregame, is they were talking about how important it was for, you know, Cespedes coming back. And we know that it's pretty obvious how important it is to get Cespedes back. I mean, I don't think you have to, you know, go in there and, you know, go through the reasons why it's important for Cespedes to be back. But one of the things that really bothered me a little bit is how he talked about how the club was a little tired. They needed days off this week. How getting guys like Mats and Lugo and Cespedes would give them a little bit of pep. And I'm saying to myself, if they don't have pep now, and this is what they need, well, then there's a problem. Like, they could have competed and played a hell of a lot better than they did without those three guys. Those three guys put them in a different conversation. So that's where I see, like, that's the manager's job. And then you're hearing some talk, and this will get into the whole is Rosario ready conversation, about how one of the concerns the organization has is with the clubhouse. And I believe it was in a Kevin Kernan article this morning or this weekend. I should have, you know, really wrote that down and found out exactly. But it was in one of the articles out there. It was kind of buried in there about how the concern about bringing Rosario up is that he would replace Cabrera. And how would that sit, replacing a very popular veteran in that clubhouse? I don't care. Now, if Rosario comes up and pulls a Greg Jeffries, where he really doesn't, and Jeffries, some of that, you know, not to get into that story, I don't know if it was all, he didn't handle it well, but it was a lot of animosity towards the publicity that Jeffries got. I could see maybe a Rosario in the same kind of way falling into that category, but the kid's got energy. He clearly is a better defensive player. He's got a good bat. He seems ready. He's playing at a level in Las Vegas that I don't think it's a Pacific Coast League thing. And they need defense up the middle. I mean, yeah, Cabrera made a couple of really good plays today. And that's the kind of plays you expected, because that's what he did last year, even though his range isn't great. And listen, even at as bad as Cabrera is, he's a huge upgrade over what Wilmer Flores was at shortstop. And Reyes, to be fair, is not much of an upgrade these days from Cabrera, defensively as well, offensively and defensively. But, you know, to me, that's the kind of garbage, that kind of mindset, that's a losing mindset. And I really don't think the veterans on this team are like that. I could be wrong. I'm not in the clubhouse all the time. And the fact that it's even being talked about and the writers feel inclined to even mention it in a piece tells me there may be some validity to it. But to me, that's where it falls on the manager. The manager can't allow that. And I really feel that the manager and the players are far too comfortable with taking time off in season, falling behind, and then kicking it into gear. And you know what? Now that you're going to try to kick it into gear, let's see if that gear is there. Because a lot of times, they're not the first team to try to kick it into gear, and it ain't there. It happens in every sport. Look at the Washington Nationals a couple of years ago, back when the Mets won the division. You kept hearing that. Now, there were other issues in that clubhouse, but they tried to kick it into gear a couple of times. It wasn't there. Now the Mets have used a series against a bad team to kick it a little bit into gear. Now they play the big boys. They play teams like Chicago and Washington. If you could beat these teams at home and then go on the West Coast and compete and win and stay at or above 500 in all those scenarios and get to that 16-10 by the All-Star break, then maybe you're showing me something. Then maybe you're a force to be reckoned with. What will that put you, 44-43 at the All-Star break, in terms of games behind in the wild card? I don't know. Because Arizona, I don't know what to think of them. They look pretty tough when the Mets play them, but they're not unbeatable. They're also home. So The Mets are in a position where we're not here yet. And one of the reasons why I had Russ Langer scheduled for this Sunday is I was waiting to really say, hey, let's get these kids up. Let's start talking about the future because this season's going to hell in a handbag. And I'm still not happy where they are, and I still think they're blowing a golden opportunity because they have a pretty good offensive team. They're not great defensively. They never really have been under Sandy Alderson. The pitching has really underperformed. But now you're starting to see Mats and Lugo. And I'll tell you what, they're going with the six starters. I'm not really a big fan of the six-man rotation. But these guys are all pitching. I think eventually one of these guys has to go into the bullpen because they're going to need help. And if it doesn't come from Vegas, going to come somewhere, and it's got to come from that rotation. And if you look at the one guy, and we glazed over it last week, and we'll probably talk about it more to see how he starts to continue to perform, the one guy who makes the most sense right now is Matt Harvey. Because I think Lugo can navigate a lineup and pitch when he doesn't have his best stuff. We've seen DeGrom do it. I know he's had a couple of lousy starts. Let's see where he's at. You know, Mats, to me, that's not a bullpen guy. Gazelman, maybe, but Gazelman's really kicked it into gear. Harvey's the guy. Harvey's the guy that I feel stands out. You're not going to put, obviously, Wheeler in the bullpen for a variety of reasons. Now, has innings limitations, so maybe that's why they're throwing the sixth starter in so they don't lose him. But right now, you should be able to compete in every ballgame. What's it going to come down to? What it always has come down to in the Terry Collins era. How he manages that bullpen in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. And today he did a nice job. He pushed the starter into the seventh inning. It was his first start back. He might have made the yard. And it was probably hot out there. I can't complain about not pushing him into the eighth. But you might have been able to push him a little bit into the eighth inning. But you had the lefties coming up, and that made sense. That made sense. So things are looking up. I'm not ready. And I will tell you, and I'll stand by this, until they get to 500, I'm only talking about this is a plan and an attitude and a mindset about getting to par to be able to be considered a contender. They are not a contender until they get to par. And that might not happen until a month from now. You got to play a good 30 days. That's this hole has created. The bad in-game decisions, the lackluster play, a lot of stuff that this team should not, even with what's happened, be as far behind as they are to 500. Anyway, let's take a break. When I return, you'll hear Russ Langer, play-by-play voice for the Las Vegas 51s. We'll talk about Ahmed Rosario, Dominic Smith. We'll see. Is there any help down there for the bullpen? What is this guy Pedro Lopez all about? Who knows? He might be the next Mets manager. And as I always like to ask, Frank Viola, former Cy Young Award winner. He's been in the Mets organization for a while. I think that's a guy that could help this team at the big league level. And they better wake up and get him up here because eventually he's going to get a job somewhere. So let's hear what Russ Langer thinks about Frankie V. Anyway, let's take a quick break. And when we return, Russ Langer, play-by-play voice for the Las Vegas 51s, will join us. And we'll get to see and hear what's going on down at the farm. We'll be right back.
Fastball driven to deep left field. Back goes Cuevas at the track. Cuevas at the wall. And this one's high off the wall. Cecchini's coming around third. Here he comes. Cecchini's on his way. The throw to the plate. Cecchini scores. And Las Vegas wins the game 7-6. The kid has done it again. 21-year-old Ahmed Rosario in the bottom 11th inning drives in Cecchini with a ball high off the wall in left field. And the 51s win the game in 11 innings, 7-6. They win the series 3-2 when they were down 2-0. We'll be back with the totals after this.
We're back, and joining me is the Las Vegas 51s play-by-play man, 2015 Nevada Sportscaster of the Year, Russ Langer, and he's out in Tacoma before the 51s take on the Rainiers. And I had to, figure to get a chance to catch up with him. A lot going on with the Mets, and Vegas is a big part of it. Russ, pleasure to have you on again. How are you out there?
Good, Mike. Things are nice and pleasant. Should have good weather today, and it's a good matchup. Felix Hernandez on a rehab assignment pitching for Tacoma against Rafael Montero's been throwing exceptionally well, and beautiful day. Should have a nice crowd, so it should be a good day.
And Montero's very frustrating for Mets fans because he dominates in Vegas, And he comes up to the big leagues, and he's a completely different pitcher. But maybe there's still something there, huh? Because the Mets made a move earlier today to designate Sean Gilmartin, and it seems like Montero has nine lives.
Yeah, I would. It seems like he does, which is unusual for a right-hander. Usually the lefties are the ones who have nine lives. But he does have a powerful arm, and we know he was kind of hampered for a year or two with injuries and other issues. And so, but he's the way he is in Vegas. And again, as you pointed out, the numbers in New York don't bear this out, but in Vegas, he has been really outstanding this year. He's pitched the best he's had since 2014.
You mentioned Felix Hernandez going against the 51s today, and it'd be a good chance for Amed Rosario. I'm assuming he's in the lineup to go up against some big league pitching. Everyone wants to hear about him. Great article in the New York Post by Ken Davidoff earlier today about Rosario's upbringing, his makeup. Obviously, at every level, he's looking to not only achieve expectations but exceed them. Everyone's excited about him here in New York. You've had a chance to watch him all year. Is he as good as advertised? Give us a quick little scouting report about Amed Rosario.
Well, I think he is. I think that this is not a case, as sometimes can be the case, of an organization overhyping somebody. Where Amed Rosario is only 21 years old. He's got a quick bat. He's a line drive hitter with occasional power. He definitely is somebody who has exceptional speed. And so his base stealing credentials are good, and his instincts are good. Defensively, he's major league caliber. And one of the best things about him is that he plays hard all the time. There seems to be a new breed, unfortunately, of players in the minor leagues, at least, where, you know, and this is not, I'm not saying that this is prevalent, but it's increasingly noticeable where players want to look cool to their teammates. And one of the ways they want to look cool is to not necessarily look like they care about winning, which is unfortunate. Amed Rosario does not fall for any of that stuff. He goes hard all the time, and he's beating out routine ground balls to the left side of the infield and hustle to beat double play balls, and he's been the whole package. Now, whether he's ready to come up right now and do well against major league pitching, hard to say. He might need a little more time here. I know they don't want to rush him. I know there's an arbitration clock that they don't want to start too soon. But certainly he's playing very well. In the last week or so, his average has dipped a little bit. But the good thing is it has not affected his attitude or the way he approaches the game. And he's working hard to refine what he needs to work on.
The other part of that excitement that New York fans have, which has been largely due to early season struggles by the Mets, is Dominic Smith. Now, they don't have as pressing of a need at first base right now, but Dominic Smith, you've heard about the glove. You know, he struggled at times early in his minor league career with the bat, specifically with power. That's come around. I understand the Pacific Coast League, but similar to Rosario, when I look at Pacific Coast League numbers, his seam, even though there may be some inflation to them, legit, you can see that there's that next level of average, those guys who go down there and dominate to a certain extent. Is Dominic Smith also someone that Mets fans should be equally excited about after, you know, hearing a little bit there about Rosario?
I'm not going to say – I think it would be unfair to Dominic to come right out and say that Mets fans should be equally excited about Dominic Smith. But there's certainly something to be said for the ability that Dominic Smith shows and has shown. This is a big guy who, first of all, is a line drive hitter. He does have some power. He goes the opposite way very, very well. And he's extremely good around the bag. I mean, for a guy his size, he's a big guy. You don't expect him to be as agile necessarily around the bag as he has been. But certainly he's shown that. A couple things that he probably could work on. He needs to be able to hit good pitching a little better. Many of the hits that he's had have come off either pitchers who are borderline as far as their ability to be here or just on bad pitches. So he needs to work on that a little bit. Sometimes pitch selection can be an issue. And, you know, he hasn't hit lefties that well or that poorly. He's at 266 against lefties, and he's at 339 against righties. So, you know, I think if he needs to learn to hit lefties a little better. So he's only 22. I mean, this is somebody who time is certainly on his side. But I think that should Mets fans be excited about Dominic Smith, I think that they should be very encouraged by what they have here, because this is a talent And but although I, you know, I'm not going to put him quite in the, on the level of an Ahmed Rosario, because Ahmed is the type of guy who comes around a lot less often than a power hitting first baseman.
Joining me is Russ Langer, 51's play-by-play man. Right before they take on the Tacoma Rainiers here on a Sunday, mid-June here, Pedro Lopez is the new manager of the 51's. Obviously, you guys had Wally Backman for a couple of years. Lopez has been an organizational guy. You know, some say he may be a future major league manager. What could you tell us about Pedro Lopez and your experience in covering him and kind of what he's brought to the 51's this year?
Well, Pedro is in his first year at AAA, as you point out, Mike, and he's learning. He's learning the very vast differences between managing at AA and managing at AAA. It's a whole different world. When you're managing at AAA, there are a substantial part of your roster, guys who've been in the big leagues. And some of those guys, once they come back down, some of them have a good attitude and some of them don't. And it can be a struggle for AAA managers, because this is the hardest level probably to manage at. In the big leagues, it's hard because you have more of a spotlight, but you also have more help. At AAA, you have less help, but you are dealing with sometimes guys who just don't want to be here. They believe that they should not be here. And then you're trying to keep the guys with the not-so-great attitude away from the guys who either have a good attitude or are kind of agnostic about the whole thing and are just going about their business day-to-day. Because once that negative attitude starts to rub off, that can reflect poorly on the whole team, and you're the manager, and let's face it, you're the face of the team. So these are things that I think, you know, Pedro may have had an idea about going in, but now he's experiencing it, and it's not easy. And the team has not won nearly as much as anybody had thought or hoped that they would. So Pedro's figuring things out, and it's a difficult thing. Now, the thing that Pedro has going for him is, first of all, he knows almost all these guys, having been at Binghamton for a number of years. He's also bilingual, so that also helps. And he definitely has the aptitude to figure things out and understand about managing at this level and move forward.
One other thing about the roster, you know, it's no secret that the Mets need some relief help. Paul Sewald came up from the 51's earlier this year and has had some success. They just signed Daniel Bard earlier today. I don't know where he's going to be. I'm assuming AA or AAA. You see some interesting names. I liked Ben Rowan in spring training. You have Jason Bradford. Kevin McGowan has a decent strikeout rate. Alberto Baldonado is someone that came up, has struggled, but has had some hype throughout the system. It's so hard to assess here in New York, other than with some basic stats, you know, who could help this team. I've mentioned some of those names. Are those names, or is there somebody else I'm missing that potentially could help this Mets bullpen as they head into really an important stretch in their season?
Well, you did mention the key names. I think the fellow who is under the radar because he has pitched up there and at times has pitched well and at times has not pitched well is Eric Adell, who, although his ERA doesn't reflect it, the last five or six times out, he has seemed to flip a new switch. And by his own admission, earlier in the season, he'd go out for an inning or two, and he'd have just a small handful of pitches that would actually be quality pitches. The rest of them were not so quality. In the meantime, he is a fellow who in the last several outings has been the opposite. Almost all of his pitches have been good, except for a few. And so he's been excellent. And so last night he had another good outing. You mentioned Kevin McGowan. This is a guy who had one really bad outing. That's the only reason his ERA is over four. Other than that, this is a guy that throws 93, 94 with a good slider and probably could be of help. Logan Taylor is a fellow who has been used in a short relief, long relief, couple of spot starts, a power arm, sometimes gets behind hitters too much, can be a little off with his command, but he's got a fastball also in the low to mid-90s and a power curveball. And the other fellow I think who's a sleeper is a left-handed reliever, Kyle Regnall, who's a great story. He had a lot of time in independent ball, was working in a golf course in Florida, happened to bump into Phil Regan, who's, of course, with the Mets now. And one thing led to another, a workout, a second workout, and now here he is in AAA. And his is a lefty who throws mid-90s and, again, has had some control issues. But, you know, these are a couple of other guys to maybe keep an eye on for the bullpen.
Hey, last thing. I know you got to run and do the game, and we appreciate you being generous with your time today. Frank Viola watches over these guys, and he watches over guys like a Seth Lugo and a Steven Matz and guys who have been on rehab. And we've heard a lot of great things and what a great asset he is to this Mets organization. What could you tell the fans about Frank Viola? They remember him. A large amount of them remember him from his playing days, but he's really moved up the organization ranks when it comes to his ability to be a really solid pitching coach and teach these guys and work with them and keep them healthy and hopefully get them to the big leagues.
Frank Viola is a world of experience, as you point out, and this is just a good guy. I mean, he's a fellow who has a tremendous amount of knowledge and experience, and he relates well to the pitchers. Sometimes we joke a little with Frank because he seems to have a magic touch where if a pitcher gets into trouble, he'll go out there to talk to him, and immediately the guy, whoever the pitcher happens to be, will come up with a big pitch at the right time and get out of the mess. And so, it's almost become a running joke because it happens so often. But he relates well to the pitchers. They have total respect for him. They know his background as a Cy Young winner, as a World Series MVP, and he also plays another role. He's a big, affable kind of sugar bear type of figure in that clubhouse. And this is a clubhouse that needs that, because if there's one thing that the Las Vegas 51s have lacked in 2017, it's veteran leadership, the kind they had years ago with guys like Brandon Allen and Mike Hampson, last year with Mark Krause. The list goes on. So Frank plays that role in trying to keep people loose on top of all of his experience and ability with regard to pitching. So he's been a very valuable member of this staff for the last couple of years.
Hey, Russ, I know you got to run. Thanks so much for doing this. Be well today. It sounds like a fun matchup, and let's catch up again and have a great rest. I think you have a homestand coming up, so have a safe flight and have a good homestand, and we'll talk again. All righty?
Sounds good, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
And that's Russ Langer, Las Vegas 51's play-by-play man. Gave you some very interesting nuggets. Let's take a break, and let's give you some of my comments on that. Very interesting things I thought he had to say about Dominic Smith. Interesting things to say about Frank Viola. I thought he was pretty candid about Pedro Lopez, and he even gave you some positives about maybe a name or two in the bullpen that potentially could help the Mets. You're listening to the Talking Mets podcast. Of course, you can check out the show all the time at MetsMorizedOnline.com. Send me a tweet at Mike Silva Media, and you can check out the show on SoundCloud, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. Send me a review on iTunes. It is greatly appreciated. Let's take a quick break, and we'll wrap up with some final thoughts. And some of my thoughts about Russ Langer's comments are right after this.
Hey, Mets fans. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. If you're looking for the best unbiased and independent coverage of the New York Mets, then look no further than MetsMorizedOnline.com. Mesmerized Online is the go-to place for comprehensive Mets coverage, including exclusive interviews, daily original articles, great weekly features, in-depth analysis, minor league reports, game-by-game breakdowns, and so much more. Find out why thousands of fans turn to Mesmerized Online every day to get the latest news and opinions about the Mets. Coming from an impressive staff of the most passionate fans and skilled writers ever assembled, all in one place. Check it out for yourselves, Mets fans. Go to MetsMorizedOnline.com right now. That's Mets, MERIZED, online.com, and get Metsmerized today.
Real interesting stuff from Russ Langer there. Real interesting stuff. First off, here's quick synopsis. As we wrap up here, number one, sounds like Rosario's ready hearing him talk. Obviously, you know, he's not sure how he'll perform at the same level in the big leagues, but you got the sense hearing Russ talk that Rosario's ready and he's special. He was very tempered in some of those words, but you got that feeling. Number two, Dominic Smith may not be ready. And he was less enthusiastic. Now, I use the word dominance and on the same level because I'm talking in terms of the hype. But there was some pause there. And again, he didn't say he's not a big league player who could contribute, but maybe not a guy who's going to hit 320. We know the glove is there. You know, is he a doubles guy? Can he hit 300 in the big leagues? Will his defense at first make up for maybe some of the offensive shortcomings? But when somebody says he's doing the majority of his damage against guys who are either making mistakes and who will not be in the big leagues, well, that's going to change a lot when he gets up to the show. So he was a little bit more tempered with Dominic Smith. Sounds like Pedro Lopez is learning a little bit of how to manage a clubhouse. And he's – listen, the whole narrative about AAA and guys who don't care, I mean, that's been going on forever. I mean, he's – Russ has been doing minor league baseball a long time, so I'm going to take him at his word. But maybe it's becoming a little bit more of a situation in the minor leagues. And it's certainly something to watch when you have young, impressionable players, you know, like a Rosario. So that's his job, keeping the bums who are just there looking to score a paycheck and hope to get called up on, you know, some 40-man or some September call-up, or who are bitter about being there. Keep them away from ruining a guy who has a lot of potential and a big future. So it sounds like Lopez has some work to do, learning on the job, and he's doing that, and AAA has been an experience for him. Now, the two very – one that's not surprising but was very exciting, but the one that was interesting was how he talked how great about Goodell. Now, I know Goodell has had some moments in the big leagues, but I remember they had that article, that comment made by the beat writers where he had a dirty MRI a couple of years ago. It just made me think he's always going to have a bad arm, and everybody remembers how he couldn't get three outs in Game 3 of the NLDS against the Dodgers, a game they had to bring Familia in. That was like a 10-run game, and I think Goodell gave him three or four runs pretty quickly. So, he always holds a special place in the heart, I think, of Mets fans. But that was interesting. He threw Goodell in there as an option, and he gave you a couple of other names to look at and potentially keep an eye on. Finally, if you don't think Frank Viola is the answer for the Mets at the big league level, after hearing Russ Langer talk, I don't know what you're listening to. That is the pitching coach this team needs. That's a guy that has had success at a high level, had to overcome adversity. You know, I interviewed him many years ago, right before he started with the Mets. I think it was right before his first year, probably 2011, 2010, like around there. And he talked about how Johnny Padres helped him. I mean, he was a guy that was lost as well. And the fact that this guy goes out to the mound and calms people down and is able to have an impact, that's what you need. He's got a little bit of a sense of humor. He was always like that as a player. That's a guy you need. That's the guy that could make a difference with these guys. Not the guy you got now. The guy you got now is a loser. He's never made an impact anywhere. And trust me, they'll still throw sliders. Worthen is not the only guy that could throw a slider or teach how to throw a slider. And if the Mets aren't smart and the Mets don't keep that guy and promote that guy ASAP, I personally would. I'd promote him right now. I'd fire Dan Worthen, man. I know a lot harder to do, but, you know, you can do it. Look at the Arizona Cardinals. The St. Louis Cardinals. They made some changes this week. It's not the first they shook up their coaching staff. It's not the first time that it's happened. I said the Arizona Cardinals. I'm batting 1,000 today, thinking about football in the middle of June. So anyway, I think there was a lot of value to that interview. I really was excited. The Viola, the way he talked about Viola, really exciting. I got to tell you. Make it happen. Get Worthen out of here. The next off day, make it happen. Because I'm telling you, this is the kind of guy the Mets need. And they're going to sit around. He's going to get a job somewhere. And he's going to go on to a successful big league pitching coach career. And then everyone's going to say, well, he's there. Why didn't he get a chance? Well, you know, you're Dan Worthen. This isn't a Supreme Court justice. You can make changes. And if Sandy Koufax doesn't like it, he doesn't want to hang out in Port St. Lucie and chat with the pitchers, it's okay. The Mets will survive if Sandy Koufax doesn't hang around the ballpark in spring. Fred might be unhappy. Fred Wilpon might be unhappy. But the Mets will survive. Sandy Koufax, you know, neither here nor there. We'll do respect. I'm sure he has a lot of value, but he shouldn't be. Because you always hear, I keep going back, you always hear how one of the reasons they don't want to fire Collins and Worthen is because it would upset Sandy Koufax. So whether that's true, I don't know. That was something that was thrown out. I think it was Mike Puma who threw it out on a tweet or an article a couple of years ago. And it drove me bananas. Anyway, I thought this was a really fun show. I really enjoyed the Russ Langer segment. I thought he gave us some good stuff. And he was under a crunch because he was literally getting ready for the game. So we were about 30 minutes away from the ball game when I called him and had a chance to chat with him. So good stuff. The MLB draft tomorrow, I know that there'll be a lot of stuff talked about with that. We'll get into that next week, so that'll be a big part of next week. This is a big homestand for the Mets. So you got the MLB draft, big Mets homestand. You know, next weekend could be, you know, I don't want to say, you know, done over and out, but if they have a lousy homestand, I think you and I both know that we'll be talking MLB draft. We'll start to think about who they could sell and who they could acquire in terms of assets. Subway Series, and then it's pretty much over. And then you and I are going to have to figure out what kind of show we're going to do come August, because it ain't going to be easy. And I hope that that's not the case, because I think there's some fun players on this team. I think there's still an opportunity to have a fun season. You get into a wild card game, you never know. And the Mets, listen, by that time, maybe Syndergaard's back, Familia's back. Mets could be a very dangerous team. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank Russ Langer, play-by-play voice for the Las Vegas 51s, for joining us earlier today. Of course, you can check out the show all the time at MetsMorizedOnline.com. Send me a tweet at Mike Silva Media. And you can check out the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. I am your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I will see you next week.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.